Good morning from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church in beautiful Silver Hill, Alabama, and welcome to our Sunday morning worship encouragement, God's Loving Kindness in the Morning. Let's begin with Martin Luther's morning prayer. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me through the night from all harm and danger. I pray that you would keep me this day from all sin and evil, that in all my thoughts and words and deeds I may serve and please you. Into your hands I commend my body and soul and all that is mine. Let your holy angels be with me, that the evil one may have no power over me. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord is in his holy temple. His throne is in heaven. The Lord is near to all who are of a humble and a contrite spirit. He hears the requests of the penitent and listens to their prayers. Let us therefore draw near with boldness to his throne of grace and confess our sins. Be gracious to me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the greatness of thy compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, I have sinned, and done what is evil in thy sight, so that thou art justified when thou dost speak, and blameless when thou dost judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, thou dost desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part thou wilt make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Lutherans subscribe to the great confessions of faith of the early church. God has not changed, and our faith remains firm in the teachings of the Bible. That's why we often share what is called the Apostles' Creed in our weekly worship. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Well, let's pray together as we ready our hearts for today's Bible reading. Gracious Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to the earth and sharing your good news of salvation for mankind. Open your holy word to us this morning. Along with our Heavenly Father and your Holy Spirit, minister to our hearts and nurture us in your word. Amen. Do you remember Hannah? She lived during the time of the judges. Her husband was Elkanah. He had two wives. One had kids, one did not. Guess which one had no kids? Hannah. The old-fashioned word for no kids is barren or empty. Hannah's spirit was down. She was running on empty. The first chapter of the book of 1 Samuel describes her plight, the plight of being empty, the desire to be full. Remember, in those days, the whole nation would travel to the tabernacle for the high feasts. So Elkanah and his family go to the tabernacle, and the book of 1 Samuel records what went on. You see, Hannah laid her problem before the Lord. God answered her prayer, and the result is great joy. You see, when we see the impossible in our lives, God's intervention just fills us with joy. In today's gospel, we have a story of joy, a story that relates to a pregnancy and birth, just like Hannah's story. God has done the impossible again. This woman, however, is young and not old like Hannah. She is New Testament, not Old Testament. But guess what? It is the same God involved, and there is a spiritual change that takes place when she is overwhelmed by God's goodness and grace to her. Let's look together at Luke 1, verses 46 through 55. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." God does bring joy in impossible situations, and that is the big idea in this section of the Bible from Luke. Let's look at the pieces of this lesson. Piece 1. God has helped me. Verses 48 and 49. Think about Joseph's betrothed here. Joseph wasn't even married to Mary. She got pregnant. The world understands that some male has to be involved. The Bible tells us clearly that God was responsible. God was the father. Joseph didn't know that. He was going to end the betrothal. That meant a legal document, an actual divorce statement. Can you imagine Mary's situation and her thoughts? Pregnant, potentially cut off from everyone in her family and her community, and cut off from a husband who would support the family? That had to look pretty bleak. Can you imagine Mary down in a deep hole, looking up, wanting to get out of the hole, wanting to get out of an impossible situation? But that's not where Mary is in today's lesson. She is out of the hole. Look at the scripture. God has seen Mary where she is. The implication is tremendous. No one is too far from God. No one is where God can't be. No place and no one is too low for God. You see, God helps us where we are. Luke reports Mary's very words here. "For God has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." Oh, piece 2. God has helped others. God helps those who respect him. He did it in past generations, and he does it now. He uses his strength. He puts down those who has put down his people. He raises up those who have been put down, and he has mercy on those who have wants and needs. God fills the empty, and he empties those who are full. Psalm 31:19 says it like this: "Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of the sons of men." Well, piece 3. God has helped Israel. Our God remembers his promises. He remembers those who honor him. He remembers his basic nurture of mercy and love. He remembers what he has said. We have God himself talking in Isaiah 44, verse 21. "Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for you are my servant. I have formed you. You are my servant. O Israel, you will not be forgotten by me." And that's the same idea we have in Mary's recognition of God's faithfulness to her in today's reading. "He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy," she says, "as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." So the scripture says, God has helped me. It says, God has helped others. God has helped God's people. Now let's look at the results of this help. Piece 4. God brings me joy. Moses was in the wilderness with God's people. Remember those stubborn people? Whatever God wanted, they seemed to want something else. When God was leading them to his land, remember that they wanted to go back to Egypt? Moses was incredulous. Why would they want to go back? And we're talking about going back to slavery, right? You see, they could not see God's goodness in action. They could only see the past. Then Moses gives a command from God. Tell what I have done to your people, your children. Put my great acts on your clothes like pictures on t-shirts today. Tie my words to your clothing. Fasten my promises to the place where you live so that when you go in and go out, you will remember me. Put my words on your doorways. Moses tells the people to remember what God has done. Certainly Mary is remembering what God has done, but do you see the results? Look, God has helped me. Who am I that God should help me? Who am I that God should save me? I am happy that God loves me. I will praise him. He brings me joy. It is just like in Isaiah 12:2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yahweh the Lord is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation. Mary's Magnificat is like that. Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. God brings joy in impossible situations. This song of Mary sits in the first chapter of Luke. It's easy to skip over it. Indeed, if it shows up as poetry in your Bible, you may be one of those who just skips over this little gem, which shows why the Christian life glows. Mary knew Jesus' Father. He was there for Mary. He was there for Jesus when he was on the cross, dying for the sins of the world. This God wants you to know that he's there for you. When things look impossible, look at where you have been with God. God has helped you. God has helped others. God has helped God's people. That thinking will bring you joy. God wants you to be happy. Jesus, God's own Son, died on a cross. It was not a happy event, but God allowed that death to fix you up, to take care of your sin and mind, to make us happy in knowing that Son and knowing the Father who sought us out to renew his relationship with us through the death of that Son. Will you think on that and be joyful today? As we end our time together, let us join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Receive the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, please join us for worship this morning at 10 a.m. if you can. Zion Lutheran Church is a liturgical traditional Lutheran church located in Silver Hill on the corner of 4th Avenue and 7th Street. We are one block south of State Highway 104 and two blocks west of Highway 55. If you find the Silver Hill Library landmark, you are just a block away. Look for our signs. Want more information about our Lutheran Fellowship? Come to our website, www.lutheransinsilverhill.com, or give us a call at 945-5209. May God bless you in your spiritual walk this week, and don't forget to catch God's loving kindness in the morning next Sunday, same time and same place on your radio dial. We begin the church year with the season of Advent, where we focus on looking ahead to the coming of Jesus. Jesus, of course, comes at Christmas. On Wednesday each week before Christmas in December, we gather at 7 p.m. for Advent Vespers. It is a time for remembering God's preparations and bringing our Savior to us. We join together for a soup and sandwich supper at 6 p.m. and then move to the sanctuary for this brief service. Why not consider a sandwich and sermon supper during Advent with us on Wednesdays?